Greetings to you, precious child of God. You're once again welcome to the Sydney Alma Mensa podcast. Today, the man of God continues his series titled, The Bait of Satan. This is part two. Do stay tuned and be blessed.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you. We pray that you illuminate the eyes of understanding. And Lord, you will teach us today. For indeed you are a faithful God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Master, help us. Let's read Luke chapter 17, verse 1. The bait of Satan. We are looking at lesson 2 of the bait of Satan. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Okay, let me read. Are you ready? Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Let me read Luke chapter 7. Is it there?
17.
Okay.
Luke 17 and 1.
Yeah.
Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come.
Wow. Then he said to his disciples, I want to believe that you are indeed a disciple of God. And let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 10 to 13. Matthew chapter 24. Give us the New King James Version, okay? Matthew chapter 24, verse 10 to 13. Help us read, Pastor. Help us.
And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Last verse.
But he who endures the end to the end shall be saved.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Someone say the bait of Satan.
The bait of Satan.
Last week we learned a lot, and we want to believe God for today as well. In the chapter that we read in Matthew, Jesus is giving signs of the end. Signs of the end. And not just signs of the end, but signs of the end of this age. Because in Luke 17 verse 1, put it there for us. In Luke 17 verse 1, it says that it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. And in Matthew 24, 10 to 13, it says, but the last verse is, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So looking at Jesus giving these signs of the end of this age, his disciples then ask him, and they say, what will be the sign of your coming? Praise the Lord. This is, what will be the sign of your coming? And notice one of the signs of his pending, or signs pending his return. He says that many will be offended. Not few, but many. Someone say many. He says many will be offended. Because then the disciples ask him, and he gives a response to them. And he says that one of the signs that you should look for in my return is that many will be offended. Not few, but what? Many. Now first, we need to ask ourselves, who are these people that will be offended? And that is a question that everybody, or you as a believer, you want to ask yourself, because Jesus said many will be offended. And who are these many people who will be offended? Are they Christians, or are they people in our society in general, or what? But we find the answer as we continue to read. And because lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will what? Wax what? Cold. Is it there? Go back to Matthew. Verse 14. Let's read verse 14.
And
Now and go, this, read verse 15, please. Sorry, verse 12. Verse 12. Either 11 or 12. Yeah, okay. 12, yeah.
And because lawlessness,
because will, lawlessness abound, will abound,
the love of many will grow cold.
The love of many will what? Will
grow cold.
So Jesus is answering the disciples that who are these that will be offended? And he says that because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will what? Will grow cold. Now the Greek word for love here is agape. In this particular love here, the Greek word for love here is agape. Someone say agape.
Agape.
And there are several Greek words for love in the New Testament. And some is philia and some is agape. And these are two common love words. Philia and agape. Someone say philia.
Philia.
Agape.
Agape.
Philia is a love, the kind of love that is defined or found among friends. It is that kind of love that is found among what friends. It's more of an affectionate love that is conditional. There is a condition to that love. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Filio, that is filio. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that's how some best friends will call themselves. You know, you are my best friend because you scratch my back, I scratch your back. You are my best friend because I will look after you and you look after me. That when I'm in trouble, you'll be there for me and I'll also be there for you. And that is basically what filio talks about. Praise the Lord. You treat me kindly, I also treat you kindly. Am I teaching here?
Yes.
On the other hand, there is one called agape love, and that is an unconditional love. It doesn't merit with anyone, any condition. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't merit any condition. And that kind of love is the love that God gives to his children. It's that kind of love that Jesus gave to each of you here. Jesus loves you. And I propose to you that Jesus loves you. No matter where you find yourself, Jesus loves you. And he loves you because he gave you an unconditional love, not a love that has condition. Praise the Lord. It's very important that we understand this, because in the same love Jesus gives to us, he doesn't give to us with a price, but he gives to us freely. Praise the Lord. The love that Jesus gives to us is freely. It is unconditional. Someone say unconditional. It is not based on your performance. It is not based on your height, your beauty, your handsomeness, or your good deeds. It's not based on your alms you give, like the alms that Cornelius gave. Praise the Lord. It's not the kind of love Jesus gives to us. It's not based on anything. And it's not based on even whether it is returned. Whether you return it or you don't return, he still loves you. And I propose to you tonight that Jesus loves you no matter who you are. No matter what and who you are. Praise the Lord. Am I teaching here? It is that kind of love that he gives to us. Even if you reject him, he will still love you. Praise the Lord. And that is why you might find yourself in the depth of sin, but he will still look for you. And that is why even if the 99 is there, he will leave the 99 and go after the one. Maybe the one said, I reject you, but he still say, I'm going to look for you. Praise the Lord. And that is why in our moment of outreach, you know, we need to reach out to people and say that Jesus does what loves them. Praise the Lord. And one thing that we need to know is that without God, we can only love with a selfish love. If we do not understand the kind of love that Jesus loves us, our kind of love will be a selfish kind of love. And I guarantee that about 90% of us here, our kind of love is a selfish love. And I guarantee that most men and women that are married, some of their love is unselfish. The day they don't see nothing from the man, they begin to change their attitude. And that is when the food on the table begins to decrease in quantity. And the meat begins to move from 2 to one. If it was five, it moves to quarter. And the man can tell that something is indeed wrong then. But the day money comes, I'm telling you, you know, they will sit and fan you and, you know, try to massage your shoulders when there is no pain and there is no nothing there. Praise the Lord. Man's love always is on something. It's, you give me something, I give you something. But that's not the kind of love that Jesus gives us. And but one thing that I understand is that regardless of our response, he loves us. So agape love is the love Jesus gives to us. And it's the love that he gave to us when he died on the cross to forgive you and forgive me. So the many Jesus refers to are Christians. Please listen carefully. You go back to this, go back to the scripture for me. He says many. Is it there? He says Luke 17, Matthew 24, verse 10. Matthew 24, verse 10. He says, and what the many, pastor, is there, read for us.
And then many will be offended.
Hallelujah. So the many Jesus is referring to are Christians. Praise the Lord. He's referring to Christians whose agape love has grown what cold. You need to understand where I'm going so you get it. If your love grows cold, then it opens room for certain things to enter. And I'm going to teach about that. Praise the Lord. So it says, and many, the many is you, is me. Many will be offended. They will be offended because they are, someone say agape. Their agape love has grown what? Cold. Praise the Lord. And anytime the agape love grows cold, that is when they build walls of protection. Number one, anytime your agape love grows cold, there are walls of protection that you build around you. And what are these walls of protection? They emanate from the foundation of something which I have spoken about last week and this week, offense. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. We can all read together. Pastor, you can help us. We all read together. Let's read together. A brother
offended is harder to win than a strong city.
Mm-hmm.
And contentions are
like the bars of what?
A castle.
Can we read that again, please? A brother
offended is harder to win than a strong city, and the contentions are like the bar of a castle.
Bars of what?
A castle.
It is a bar.
Bars
of a castle.
Of a castle.
So we construct walls when we are hurt, and many times when we are hurt, we construct what? Walls. And these are not physical walls. These are emotional walls. These are walls that you can't see with your physical eyes. And we construct these walls to safeguard our heart. Is it not true? We construct this wall to safeguard our heart and prevent from future wounds. We become selective, as most of us will be. And not only selective, but we deny entry of all kinds of fear of anybody who will hurt us again and again and again and again. And because of that, we filter out anyone we think owes us something. And we filter them, we mark them with not the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus will purge them out. But we mark them with an ink. And we decide that as much as possible, we withhold access until they have paid their debt. If they have not paid their debt, we don't allow them entry. So anybody who has offended me, they have to pay. Pay and pay well. Have you experienced that before? Between our car, unless other than that, I don't open for you to enter. Sometimes we say that when women are offended, sometimes it's liberal, you know, sometimes gradually, you know, they open up and all that. But men is serious, man. Praise the Lord. And we open our lives only to those who will believe that they are on our side. And anybody who is offended will open his life to anybody who believes that he or she is on. If you are not on my side, no, you cannot be part of my circle. But yet often, these people who we believe that they are on our side, they are also offended one way or the other. So instead of helping, we stack additional stones on our existing walls. Because they themselves, they carry offenses. And I've opened the door for them because we feel that they are on our side. Send me no ayaka. Into obi bia oye wadamfu bia no. Onye me madamfu. It you know, may catch you plainly. Unless you are in my circle, anybody that is around is not in your circle. But one thing we forget is that those people, they also carry what offenses. They also are already what offended. Am I teaching here? So in doing that, we build more walls upon our existing walls we've built around ourselves. And at the end of the day, these walls become walls of protection, which we think they are walls of protection, but they are not walls of protection, but they are walls of imprisonment. And at that point, most of us can only be cautious about who comes in into our circle. But in terror, we cannot venture outside of our fortress, because we are very careful that if I move out of that walls I've built, I am afraid that I'll be hurt again. I don't know, but we want to be real here. Everybody here, you have been hurt one way or the other. Praise the Lord. I believe that I have even hurt you one. It's because maybe you are shy, you don't want to say it. But don't worry, I know I have hurt you one way or the other. Praise the Lord. If I have not hurt you, maybe I'll hurt you. I'm telling you in advance. I am prophesying in advance. So love does not seek its own. But hurt people become more and more self-seeking and self-contained, I should say. Praise the Lord. And as a result of that, it eliminates the love of God. The climate of the love of God is eliminated from your life. You think that you've created walls, but gradually you are removing what? The agape love of God from you. So Jesus is pointing that those that are offended are Christians. Am I communicating here? Offended people, most of the times, when we filter everything, we look at our past hurt, we look at our rejections and our experiences, and mostly we find it impossible to believe God. Because at that point, you do not believe that God will be able to do it again. We cannot believe. We cannot what? Believe. He means that what he says. Praise the Lord. We doubt his goodness. We doubt the faithfulness of God. You see, when you build walls of offense around you, the belief in God is not even there. Am I teaching here? And then we begin to judge him through the same filters that we have built around ourselves, thinking that we are protecting ourselves and protecting those people we have aligned with. And the more we do that, we even judge God's goodness and we judge God's what? Faithfulness. But one thing that I want you to know is that offended people will be able to find scripture passages to back their position. It might shock you. But it is not correct. Somebody say it is not correct. You cannot divide God's word to favor you and to disfavor others. Because the knowledge of God's word without love is a distraction. The knowledge of God's word without love is a distraction. Not only a distraction, but a destructive force. A force that will puff you up and give you pride. I spoke to you last week. It will give you what? Pride. Am I teaching here? And this creates an atmosphere in which you can be deceived. If you are, look at most people that are offended. Praise the Lord. To create the atmosphere when you can be what? Deceived. Because knowledge without the love of God, it will lead to deception. You can write it down. Knowledge without the love of God will lead to what? Deception. Why will it lead to deception? And Jesus wants us. Go back to my scripture for me. You have it, right? You have it. Go back there. It leads to deception. Praise the Lord. And Jesus warns us. No, go to Luke 1. Look for me. Go to the Luke scripture. Now let's do Matthew. Jesus warns us. I want us to look at the warning Jesus gives us. Jesus warns us. Next verse. Go to next verse. Huh? Pastor Reed, he says what?
Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many.
Because knowledge without the love of God will lead to what? Deception. And Jesus, you see, anytime deception is coming, you need to be careful. And Jesus warns us. He says that false prophet immediately, they make a statement in your life when you are offended. Praise the Lord. Immediately. Because after, go back for me. Go to verse 10. Look at what Jesus is saying. Immediately he says that, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate what? One another. Then, in verse 11, he says what? And he says, then many what? False what? Prophet will write. You see, precept upon precept. It wasn't after verse 10 just because he wanted to put there. And most of the time we just move that and we forget about the word that precedes that. Am I communicating here? So when the love of God is not there, it leads to deception. And the deception, they come from what? False prophet. So immediately Jesus makes a statement of being offended. Then he says that many false prophets will rise up and deceive what? Many. Who are the many they will receive? The answer is the offended. Who are the many that the false prophet will deceive? Go back to verse 12 for me. Who are them? Jesus gives the response. Who are the many that will be offended? He says what? No, verse 12. 24 verse 12. He says what? And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Pastor, read. Let everybody read after you. Uh-huh.
And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now Jesus is answering, and he's saying that after his statement, he says that, and many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And who are the many here? The many are those that are offended, and their love as what has grown what? Cold. Praise the Lord. And who are these false prophets? Let's go into it. Who are these false prophets? Jesus calls, someone say false prophet. Jesus calls false prophet. Matthew 7 verse 15. Matthew 7 verse 15. Who are these false prophet? Matthew 7 verse. It says what? Beware of false prophet who come to you
in sheep's clothing,
but inwardly.
Inwardly. Uh-huh. They are ravenous.
They are ravenous wolves. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So Jesus calls false prophet as wolves in what? Sheep's what? Clothing. And they are self-seeking men who gives the appearance of being Christians. They are always an appearance of what? Being what? A Christian. So the appearance is the sheep clothing. Praise the Lord. Because the sheep clothing looks good, look pure, look nice. We take the sheep skin, we make a good coat and whatever they call it. Hallelujah. So he's saying that they come in the appearance of what? Of a sheep, what? Clothing. But have the inward nature of what? A wolf. Now can you imagine when the outward is a sheep's clothing, but the inward is a wolf? And the truth is that wolves, they like to hang out where sheep are. Then we need to know that these false prophets, they find themselves in the congregation. Not only on the pulpit, but in the congregation. We have always assumed that false prophets are always on the pulpit. But we have false prophets in what? The congregation what as well. And they are sent by the enemy to infiltrate and deceive. So not all those that hold hold microphone to preach are false prophet. But even members in the congregation can be false prophet as well. They are sent by the enemy to infiltrate and what? And deceive. And one thing that we need to do is that we must identify them by their fruit. Because when they come in sheep's clothing, you can never know that this is a false prophet. The only way you can identify them, or even when they are in the congregation, you can never know. The only way is to identify them by their fruit. Praise the Lord. Not by the eloquency of their words, but by their fruit. By their teachings or their prophecies. Now, often the teachings can appear very sound, whereas the fruit in their lives and ministries are not. I remember years ago, listen, and sometimes when they infiltrate, you cannot know. Praise the Lord. Scripture talks about the old prophet and the prophet that God sent. And the Lord said, when you go there, do not eat, do not drink. But then an old prophet met him and said, the Lord too has spoken to me. So he was a prophet. How did he not know that the Lord has not spoken to him? Praise the Lord. Years ago in Takoradi, we had a man of God, a prophet that came to our ministry, ministered powerfully, mightily, great. But he was a false prophet. It was later discovered by our spiritual mother that the man was a false prophet. So when he came, he ministered, took members' money and all that. You didn't know he was a false prophet. Praise the Lord. But scripture gives us the foundation to identify the fruit. Somebody say the fruit. Say the fruit. So a minister or a Christian is what he leaves. Please write it again. A minister or a Christian is what he leaves. Not what he preaches. What he leaves. We need to be careful here. What he leaves, but not what he preaches. So wolves, they often or always go after the wounded and the young sheep, not the healthy or strong ones. So they infiltrate and they go after them. And those wolves will tell people what they want to hear. What they want to hear. Not what they need to hear, but what they want to hear. Now these people, truly, they don't want sound doctrine. They want someone to tickle their ears. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. Quickly, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. It says that what? But know this. Pastor, quickly. But know this. That in the last days, perilous times will come. Verse 2. Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Next verse. Verse 4.
Unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you go back, it says that for men will be unforgiving, having a form of ungodliness, but deceiving it power. Having what? A form of what? Onward. Unforgiveness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Go to verse 5 for me.
Having a form of godliness, but denying its power.
And from such people, turn away. Next verse, quickly. 6.
For of this sort are those who creep into household and make deceptive of
gullible women,
loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts.
Now go to chapter 4, verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. Same 2 Timothy, 4, verse 3. Hmm. Somebody say bait of Satan.
Bait of Satan.
Uh-huh. It says,
for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
When they will not what?
Endure sound
we
doctrine.
We always want things that would tickle our ears. And that is where we want to run to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Words that will what? Tickle our ears. But they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. Uh-huh. But
according to their
according
own desires.
To their own desires. Because of what?
Because they have itching ears.
You know someone has itchy ears. Can I hear them? Can I hear them? Can I hear them? Can I hear them? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Pastor, you
say, they will heap up for themselves teachers.
Not teacher. Teacher. Oh, teachers. They will heap up of themselves what? Teachers. Bebre, kanayemde, kanayemde. Until you fray na wantinyayemde. Wafre we wantinyayemde. Wafre wantinyayemde. I don't know whether I'm speaking the correct way. Wantinyayemde. Wantinyayemde. So, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, notice that they will have a form of godliness or Christianity, but they will deny it power. They will boast of being followers of Jesus and proclaim their new birth experience, but they themselves boast of not have been allowed for everything about Christ to be in their nature. There is no nature of Christ what in them. Am I communicating here? So he says that if you are in the atmosphere or the place of offense, be very careful about false prophet. Praise the Lord. One thing that we need to understand is that somebody say information generation. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 7. Quickly please. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 7. Paul wrote something here that these deceived men and women would have a zeal for knowledge but remain unchanged since they never applied. It says what?
Always learning
and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. So always there is the zeal to remain what? Always the zeal to learn, but they remain what? Unchanged. Am I communicating here?
Yes.
And he describes them as always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of what? Of the truth. Now, if Paul were alive today, he would grieve to see what is happening in our generation. He will see multitude of men and women attending camp meetings, seminars, church service, amassing all sort of knowledge and scriptures, everything. And he would watch them and he will feel hurt about this new revelation that men are gasping everything but have decided not to walk in the truth of what? Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe that Paul will see very charismatic Christians or believers running from programs to program and church to church, but in them they carry what? An offense. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Running from church to church, but in them they carry offense. Most of them, they want to escape the offense, but they cannot escape the offense. And all of them professing that Jesus Christ is my Lord and personal Savior, whilst they cannot forgive. Jesus, how loving you are. You are so gentle and so... Yeah. But you can't forgive. Hallelujah. But you cannot what?
Forgive.
You cannot forgive. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You cannot forgive. One thing that Jesus also talks about, apart from false prophet and information generation, where we are going seeking everything, but we cannot forgive. And he says in Matthew 24 verse 10, it says that, and then many will be offended will betray one another and will hate one another. If you look closely, we see a progression here. First, he talks about offense. Offense leads to what? Betrayal. And betrayal leads to what? Hatred. Are you getting me?
Yes.
Offense leads to what? Betrayal. Betrayal leads to what? Hatred. So I stated earlier, offended people, they build walls of protection. I want to go back. They build walls of what? Protection. And our focus here is self-preservation. It's just about ourselves. And we must be protected at all costs. And whatever it takes, we must be protected. And this makes us capable of what? Of betrayal. And when we betray, we seek our own protection, our own benefit, at the expense of someone else's happiness. And usually someone with whom we are in a relationship with. Always it happens that way. Someone we are in a relationship with. Praise the Lord. Thus, I want to say that a betrayal in the kingdom of God comes when a believer seeks his own, listen carefully, seeks his own benefit or protection at the expense of another believer. Betrayal, it then leads us to a place where seriously we are compromised. And then it has serious consequences. The Bible states clearly that anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. 1 John 3:15. Put it there for me. You are a murderer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, that's why I said that Sunday I was teaching here. And I'll go deeper on this, this coming Sunday. Jesus came to raise the bar, not to lower it. He came to what? Raise the bar. Praise the Lord. Because if Bible is stating that if you hate your brother, you see, we think that only taking a knife and stabbing, like the man who stabbed the Kotoko fan that died, we think he's a murderer. But you that hate me, you continue to hate me, you are a murderer. Look at somebody say, you continue to hate me, you are a murderer. Is it there?
Yes.
Let's read. It's not my word, so this is
whoever hates his brother is a murderer.
He didn't say was a murderer or will be a murderer. He said is
a murderer.
A murderer.
And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me teach you something. We have been so spiritual that when we start praying, and the man of God say, pray and thank God. And I'll do more about tongue speaking one time or one day. When you say pray and thank God, you need to thank God with understanding. Lord, I thank you. I went to work. I did this. I did this. I did that. Sometimes we say begin to thank God and you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Paul was encouraging that we should even pray more in understanding than in tongues. He didn't say don't pray in tongues. But he placed more emphasis to even pray more in understanding than in tongues. Then after you are praying for forgiveness and you start praying in tongues, you need to tell God what you have done so he can forgive you. Am I communicating here? I'll teach more about that. That there are some lapses we need to correct. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Am I communicating here? So, 1 John is telling us that anybody who hates his brother here is a murderer. And the fact that you are a murderer, it means that what? You will not have what? Eternal life. You see, has eternal life abad. No murderer has what? Eternal life what? Abiding in him. How sad that is. It's so sad. It's so sad to find an example given like this of somebody who hates. Look at somebody say, do you hate me? I'm sure you say no. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is so sad that we find example after example of offense, betrayal, and hatred among Christians today. It is so rampant in our homes, in our churches. Now it is considered as a normal behavior. The Gen Z generation, or the Gen Zs, I would say, they don't see anything wrong with that. And we are too numb to grieve when we see minister taking a minister to court. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is no longer surprising, you know. It's happening everywhere. You see Christian couples see one another for divorce. Churches split because of all these things, offenses. Ministries or church ministry is now politics. Politics is played everywhere, even at the top level. And it is disguised as being the best interest of the church or of the kingdom of God. And Christians are protecting their right, making sure that they are not mistreated or taken advantage by other Christians. And having that, we usually forget about our new covenant we have with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Am I teaching here?
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Have we forgotten the exaltation of the new covenant? I believe we have not. 1 Corinthians 6, 7. Let's all read together. Let's join Pastor. Let's read together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. 7, not 17, please. Thank you. 7, verse 7. Quickly, please. Why? Verse 7.
Now, therefore, yes, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrongs?
So he's asking a question here. Is there's a question mark there? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
He says, why do you not rather
accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why do you not rather lay yourself to be what? To be cheated. He says, have we forgotten the words of Jesus? Have we what? Forgotten the words of Jesus. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5 verse 44. But in all these things, it says, but I say to you, love what? Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and what? And persecute you. What about Philippians chapter 2 verse 3? It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Because of time, let me read. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than what? Himself. Praise the Lord. So why don't we live by these laws of love? I'm asking a question. Why don't we live by these laws of love? And why are we so quick to betray rather than lay down our lives for one another? You might never know how betrayal feels like. So painful. That you don't even build walls of your residential property. You build walls of Jericho that cannot be penetrated. Unless you march 7 times and scream before it collapses. But the reason is our love is cold. Our love is cold. Why are we even at the risk of being cheated? The reason is our love is what is cold. And this results in us still seeking to protect ourselves. We can no longer confidently commit our care to God. And most of the times when we are trying to care for others, our love is cold. You need to check your love. Check that love. It's cold. It's cold. It's cold. I want to say it's cold. It's cold. Very cold. Very, very cold. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus was wrong, what did he do? When Jesus was wrong, he did not wrong in return. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sam, we yemia me yo. We me. We yemia me yo. Kase we yemia me yo. Oh, say send your head there. Who can't head there? No. Oh, say head there, pa. Me. We yemi. Jesus, have mercy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Jesus did not wrong in return. It says that for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his word, his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was revealed, did not reveal in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges what righteously. We must come to a place where we have to trust God, not our flesh. Somebody say, trust God. Trust God, but what? Not what? Your flesh. Many of us, we give lip service to God at source, yet we live as orphans when it comes to our relationship with God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We take our own lives in our hands while we confess with our mouth, he is the Lord God. He is the Lord. Every day, every Sunday, he is my Lord God. But you can never trust him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But now we see that sincerely, how serious sin is an offense. Or offense is a sin, I must say. Am I communicating here?
Yes.
And I want to end here that if it is not dealt with, offense, if it is not dealt with, eventually it will lead to death. You will die. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You will what? You will die. I'm talking about spiritual death. Some will even die physical death, but here I'm talking about spiritual. You will what? You will die. But when you resist temptation to be offended, you resist Satan's bait of offense, God brings great victory. So I want to admonish you whilst you bow down your head and pray, Lord, if anybody has offended me, whilst I know that hating my brother or my sister, I am a murderer. We heard in parliament somewhere, someone says someone is daughter or something. Imagine when people are calling you a murderer. Ukum nimpa. We are with ifo. So hating somebody is not equivalent to that. It's equals to being a murderer. And I want you to pray. Some of us have been offended. Maybe I've offended you, offended him, you've offended. I want you to bow down your head and pray. The Lord, I don't want to fall into the bait of Satan of offense. Because then it leads to betrayal, it leads to hatred. And then I am prone to the devices and the schemes of false prophet. So Lord, help me. One minute, begin to pray.
Lord, help me. Come on.
This has been an amazing life-transforming message from Reverend Sidney Alumensa. Do not forget to share with friends, families, and loved ones. God bless you and Shalom.